Hey there, how's it going? I'm Jake Humphrey and this is High Performance, our gift to you for free every single week. This is the podcast that reminds you that it's already within. Your ambition, your purpose, your story, it's already there. We just help you unlock it by turning the lived experiences of the planet's highest performers into your life lessons. So right now, allow myself and Professor Damien Hughes to speak to the greatest leaders, thinkers, sports stars, entrepreneurs on the planet so they can be your teacher. Please remember, this podcast is not about high achievement or about high success. Today's episode especially is about high happiness, high self-worth, and taking you closer to a life of fulfillment, empathy, and understanding. Today is a totally different episode to the one we brought you last week and the week before that and the week before that, but I think that's the beauty of high performance. So for the next little while, this is what awaits you.
I got back thinking this is my new start, and I got invited to a dinner, like an art gallery dinner, and at 4 p.m. in the hotel room, I picked up and had a line of coke and stayed up all night, and then I went back to an after party and did some things I really regret, and then I carried on through and I went out again the next night, and 48 hours later I remember just lying in my bed staring at the walls trying to sleep thinking, I fucking hate myself. It's both exciting and incredibly scary to understand that you are responsible for your life and for your happiness and for what your life is going to be like, but choose to see it as an exciting thing. You have to just constantly ask yourself, like, is this really worth, like, my mood, my vibration, my energy? And it's not. Like, life is too precious. You know, along the way, you guys will know, I mean, everybody listening will know, you're going to be met with rejection, with no's, with deterrence, with obstacles, with challenges, with the choices. Do you let them derail you and shake your self-worth? Or do you just go, I'll find another way?
You know what? I think this is the beauty about high performance. If you think about what we brought you just in the last few episodes, we rewind like three episodes back and we spoke with Joss Butler, who's a cricketer, but it wasn't about cricket. It was about the power of quiet leadership. And then a few days later, we spoke with AJ Tracy, who's a British rapper and an amazing musician, but it wasn't a conversation about music. The big takeaway for me is that revenge can be a positive, revenge can be powerful if you reframe it in a way that works for you. And that's exactly what he's done. And then we were joined by Johnny Wilkinson, one of the greatest rugby players that the world has ever seen. And again, we didn't talk about rugby. I mean, it's hard to explain what we talked about in one sentence. The best thing to do is listen to the episode. But each week, what we're trying to do is just bring you something that challenges you, something that you're not expecting. And the biggest thing about high performance, I think, is the variety of the guests. And you know, like, it's a lovely thought that 500,000 people a week are coming and listening to these podcasts. But the key with these conversations is not the number of people, it's the impact that we're having. And I suppose when I think about why we've managed to impact so many people, I think the answer is that we're not telling you what to think. And today, this conversation with Roxy Nafusi, who's a number one best-selling author and a true expert in manifesting and making your dreams come true. The conversation with her is not something where you have to listen to it and think exactly like her and believe exactly what she believes. But we didn't ask you to think and feel the same way as Matthew McConaughey, or the same way as Toto Wolff, or the same way as Gareth Southgate. All we're doing is offering up these people, and we're just saying to you, do you know what? Take away the things that you want to take away. Disagree with the stuff that you already disagree with, but use these people, use their knowledge, use their experience for you, to get you closer to your own version of high performance. So this is Roxy Nafusi, an expert in the art of manifestation, talking to you on high performance, and it comes next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, Roxy, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start as we always do. What do you believe high performance to be?
I think it's just aligning yourself with the best version of you that exists. And I think that it's looking at where you want to go, the person that you want to become, and committing to the journey that is needed to get you there.
What I could imagine people thinking is being the best version of you, committing to the journey, seeing where you want to be. That's very easy for Roxy to sit there on a podcast, looking beautiful, having released a book. It's a Sunday Times bestseller. Wow. Successful people always say this stuff. So let's really tell people the warts and all story of how we got to sit here together today. Because if we go back just a few years, your life was not one of manifestation and positive affirmation and a daily feeling of positivity, was it?
No. So 4 years ago, it was like May 2018, I had been in a kind of battle with addiction to cocaine and alcohol, and I was smoking over a pack of cigarettes a day. And for about a decade, I went to my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting when I was 21, and at this point I was 28. And I'd never known happiness. I'd never known what it was like to be happy. And I couldn't even tell you what I really achieved in my life in those years. It was just a complete blur of hedonism, parties, come downs, depression, anxiety, low self-worth. I mean, I say low self-worth, no self-worth. And I decided to go on a yoga retreat. And I thought, right, this is it. I'm going to find something. I'm going to find myself in Thailand, you know, the ultimate cliche. And I got back thinking this is my new start. And I got invited to a dinner, like an art gallery dinner. And at 4 p.m. in the hotel room, I picked up and had a line of coke and stayed up all night. And then I went back to an after party and did some things I really regret. And then I carried on through and I went out again the next night. And 48 hours later, I remember just lying in my bed, staring at the walls, trying to sleep, thinking, I fucking hate myself. And I'm never going to change. If like 200 hours of meditating and yoga is not going to change me.
So you felt totally helpless as well as
just completely lost. I just thought, what is the point in life? Is like this all it is? And I didn't know how to pick myself up. And then I called a friend and I was like, what am I going to do? And she said, oh, listen to this podcast on manifesting. And then it really did all begin to change from there. Not that I listened to it and then all of a sudden my life was perfect, but the journey began. And, you know, where I am today, I do absolutely believe is thanks to manifestation.
So would you explain what is manifestation for somebody that's just hearing this term for the very first time?
Yeah. So manifesting is the ability to use the power of your mind to change and create the reality you experience. And I think that for a lot of people, especially now, I mean, like, the Gen Zs on TikTok are talking about manifesting all the time. They're like, I'm manifesting my exams. And they think it's about just visualizing what you want. And I think most people who know anything about manifesting or have heard the term think it is just about visualization, like, see what you want.
Yeah.
And then it's going to happen. You know, and I get DMs going, you know, can you manifest winning the lottery? I'm like, no, you fucking can't, right? Because it's not about visualization. Manifesting really is a self-development practice. And that's why I think, you know, my book Manifest, really it's a self-help book. You know, it's got manifestation. I would say it's like the umbrella, and then self-development comes under it. And it's backed by science.
We will talk about the science then. I would love to delve deeper into that, because there will be cynics and skeptics listening to this conversation. And I'm sitting here as the host of this podcast saying, not only have I read the book, but my wife has read the book and passed it on to a friend of hers. So there's a reason why this book has captured people's imagination. And there was a lovely quote in there from Robin Sharma, right at the start of the book. Everything is created twice, first in the mind, then in reality. So what is the science behind all of this? How do we create the life that we dream of from a scientific basis?
So there's kind of two parts to it. There's the neuroscience that plays into it, and then there's the quantum physics side of it. So from a neuroscience point of view, the main thing here actually is visualization. So if you look at any like great athletes, or there's that Olympic swimmer, I can't remember
his name. Michael Phelps.
Yeah. Who, you know, who spoke about visual rehearsal that he did before winning his races over and over again. And not only was he visually rehearsing winning, he was visually rehearsing the obstacles he would face and how he would overcome them. And, you know, a lot of celebrities, CEOs, you know, really successful people at the top of their game will talk about visualization, how powerful it is. And the way it works is because the subconscious parts of our brain, once we've repeatedly visualized something, it starts to prime itself to reach that goal. So it will filter out unwanted information, and it will seek out opportunity that you might otherwise have missed. And the easiest way to explain it is, imagine, you know, when you've bought your new car, you suddenly realize every other car is that car, right? And so,
why is my car so popular all of a sudden? Yeah.
And that's just your subconscious just seeking information to kind of align itself with whatever is your focus. So that's kind of neuroscience part of it.
Just to confirm that then. So if you're thinking about your new car and you're seeing a lot of them, what you're saying is, if you're constantly thinking about opportunity and positivity and good stuff and meeting amazing people, miraculously it happens. Because what, you're open to that?
You're more open to it. So it's really like, if you're focused on your goal of where you want to go, you'll actually allow your subconscious to inform what decisions you make, what you see in your periphery, if information isn't relevant to that focused goal, it will kind of ignore it and then do the opposite. So that's kind of how it works.
So this is the stuff that we've had previous guests explain to us around the reticular activating system. Is this the same thing where you filter out? So you filter out the stuff where, if I was to say, think of your right foot in your shoe at the moment, you're suddenly aware of that thought, whereas 10 seconds ago it was in your unconscious.
Yeah. Exactly. And so visualization, and regularly, it's not visualizing it once. Like, you can't just like think about it once and then, you know, your subconscious is going to get to work. But regularly visualizing your goals, where you want to go, having that vision and being clear in it, allows neuroscience essentially to work for you.
And can I just check then, Roxy, is it so? I've heard athletes, again, like the Michael Phelps example, talk about executing a core skill. It might be a race that lasts for 60 seconds, or it might be an athlete catching a ball. They can visualise that and prime themselves for it. Are you suggesting that you can use this for more longer-term goals as well? It might be something like getting a relationship or a new job or something like that.
Absolutely. I think you can use it for anything. I think that when we know where we want to go, when we know where we're headed, if when we're really clear in our vision and we have that kind of focus, then of course we're able to use that to give us drive, to help us with commitment, to help us be consistent, to help us overcome obstacles. You know, and all of this is to say that it kind of enables you to do the work.
Let's talk about doing the work in a sec. So we've covered the neuroscience element. What was the second?
The second is quantum physics.
Ooh, I'm not sure I'm clever enough to be involved in this. I'm a former kids presenter, right? So I maybe should leave the room and leave you two to...
It sounds a lot fancier than it is. Essentially, what we know from quantum physics is that like attracts like, which is the law of attraction. Yeah. And again, a lot of people might have not really understood manifestation, but will probably know the term law of attraction. And so the idea is that, you know, everything in the universe is made up of atoms, right? Me, you, the sky, everything. But what differentiates us from, say, the sky above us is the density and the vibrational frequency of the atoms. And the idea is that high vibrational frequencies attract high vibrational frequencies back to it, because like attracts like, and vice versa. Low vibrational frequencies attract low vibe back to it. And that's why you hear the term low vibe and high vibe. You know, it's quite like when people go, raise your vibe.
You talk about it in your book a lot.
Yeah.
That's how you refer to it.
Yeah. And thoughts and feelings have different vibrational frequencies. So if we're constantly in this state of anger, shame, regret, guilt, fear, we're operating at a low vibrational frequency. And then that's what we attract back to us, this kind of low vibe life. Whereas if we're constantly putting ourselves in a state of appreciation, gratitude, love, compassion, you know, then we're operating at a whole different frequency. And so what we attract back to us is abundance. And I always give the example of, you know, if you've ever just woken up on the wrong side of bed, or you're just having a, you know, you woke up and you're in a shit mood and then everything goes wrong. Like you miss your train, and then someone sends you an email that really pisses you off. And then, you know, and it all kind of goes like that. And I don't think it's a coincidence. You know, we're in a low vibe, and that's what we continue to attract to us.
Now, I see low vibe people and I am absolutely with you on this. I talk often about, you know, life is a shifting rug, and you've either got to be the kind of person that learns to dance on that rug and enjoys the challenge of life, or you're the person that constantly looks down going, oh great, the rug's been pulled out from under my feet. Woe is me all the time. You know, that victim mentality. I think this is brilliant. There'll be people listening to this. There will be some listening to this that think it's a nonsense. We all know that. There'll be others though listening to this thinking, I really want this to be part of my life. I know that I'm constantly feeling jealous of other people, or I'm always wanting bad things, or I'm always judging people in a negative way. How do people begin shifting themselves from a low vibe life to a high vibe life?
I think that is such a good question. And, you know, I also will say that I was one of those people. I had such victim mentality. It was very poor me, like everything goes wrong for me. I was incredibly pessimistic. I lacked motivation in anything. I wasn't hardworking. I mean, I literally didn't work. I was one of those minimum effort, maximum effect kind of girls, you know. So I really did change my whole mindset and my whole vibration in the way that I live. So I really speak from someone that was, you know, a negative person. And what we have, which is, you know, I think one of our greatest gifts, is something called neuroplasticity. And that means that our brain is able to form new pathways and make new behavioral patterns through repeated and consistent thoughts or repeated action. And so this is kind of amazing, because we can constantly find ways to reprogram our subconscious beliefs, to reprogram the way that we think. And there's so many techniques that you can use to do this, such as practicing gratitude every day, such as repeating mantras, listening to affirmations, even just having the awareness of your thoughts and knowing that, you know, we can only have one thought at a time. We really are able to constantly shift and choose the thoughts that we're having. And I think it is about this responsibility to commit to that. It's actually really easy to be unhappy. You're always going to find something to support that. And, you know, if someone, you know, annoys you or gets you all riled up, it's really easy to just blame them and just like go into like that, you know, vent in your mind or to someone else or to them. It's a lot harder, but it's a lot more rewarding to be able to stop yourself, to take ownership of your thoughts and to choose a new perspective, to choose a more empowering way to think. And the more you do it, the easier it will become and the more natural it will be. And I think for anyone that says or might be listening to me thinking, yeah, it's not that easy. Yeah, it's not easy. it's not meant to be easy. If you're reprogramming your subconscious pathways and changing the way you think, it's not something that is going to feel really easy. But if you commit to it and you're consistent with it, you absolutely will change your life.
So take us back to that girl that was laying in the bed that day, hating herself and questioning why she was there. What was the first step once you discovered this power of manifestation that you took to change your life?
So when I listened to this podcast on manifesting, I realized it was, which is probably the most important lesson, is that you manifest from what you subconsciously believe you're worthy of, and that self-worth was at the core of it. And of course, I had no self-worth. And so I think for me, the first step was to really understand that I was responsible. And it was just that taking responsibility that began everything, because then what I did next was I started listening to affirmation playlists, which is basically you fall asleep to, I would type into YouTube self-love affirmations. It's basically like a meditative track, and then it says things like, and honestly, all guys listening, I'm sure one of them are going to be like, I am not doing this, but you know, it's saying like, I'm proud of who I am, I love who I am, just, you know, really positive affirming statements. As you're falling asleep, as you're waking up, and when you're in a meditative state, your subconscious is really susceptible to positive messaging. And so this is the best time to listen to these kind of affirmation playlists, because again, it's rewiring the way that you think, and raising your self-worth at the same time. So that's actually was the first kind of little technique that I started doing.
And I really hope that as we have this conversation, the skeptics and the cynics that join us at the beginning of this episode are having their minds changed, because we talk all the time about having a growth mindset on high performance. And we were joined by Mel Robbins, who's a motivational speaker from the States. And she spoke about doing a high five in the mirror. I mean, that is far more out there actually than manifesting. Yet we said to her, what about those who are cynics? And she said, well, how's cynicism working for you? You know, what benefit is it for anyone listening to this to sort of write this off? And you know what I'm reminded of while we're having this conversation? We were joined on the podcast quite a long time ago by an explorer called Nims Purja. Now, I think we had exactly the same conversation with Nims Purja, because what Nims was saying to us is, excuses remove the learning. Of course, I believed that the impossible was possible when I wanted to scale the world's tallest mountains faster than anybody else. Because what's the point thinking anything other than it's impossible? And he came up with exactly what he wanted to achieve, and that's him manifesting it. And he understands the power of a positive mindset. You know, I've always said, believe you can do it. It doesn't mean it will happen, but you're a hell of a lot closer to making it happen by believing that you will. And I think that I would just say to people listening to this, just because you are a female manifester rather than a male explorer, the conversation, actually, when we break it down to its core, is exactly the same. It is believing you're worthy, believing you deserve it, believing it's out there for you, and choosing happiness. Yeah. And that's a hard conversation for some people to hear when we talk about happiness being a choice, because they're so used to their brain telling them that happiness isn't for them, that victim mindset.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. And also, it can be quite like hard on the ego to take, to just go, maybe I'm choosing this, maybe I'm allowing myself to stay in this place, and maybe, you know, it's both exciting and incredibly scary to understand that you are responsible for your life and for your happiness and for what your life is going to be like, but choose to see it as an exciting thing.
And what do you do now when a negative thought pops in your head? You go on Instagram or something and suddenly have a pang of jealousy for someone else's account or something like that.
So I have this step in my book called Turn Envy into Inspiration. And there's, you know, envy is really, it's a really low vibrational frequency, and it comes from a scarcity mindset. It essentially says what you have means less for me, so there's not enough to go around. And then that's what you continue to attract, lack, right? And I don't think we should judge it either. You know, when we feel it, I think often we do judge ourselves for feeling envious. We try to kind of deny it. Sometimes we pass it off as judgment. I always use this example for the women, because I'm not you know, trying to be rude to women, but we do this. A confident girl walks in the room, and what we'll do is we'll go, "Oh, she's so arrogant." It's like, is she? We don't even fucking know her, right? But we, so we pass on as judgment, because it's harder to say, "Look, I'm actually feeling envious. There's something that I still need healing. That's something that I want." So firstly, it's being aware of our envy and not judging it, not judging our envy, not turning it into judgment, and an understanding that comes from a place of fear. You know, it's just a fear of response that actually, wow, like this is something I want, or what if I can't have it, or what if they do take away from me? And then changing that thought and replace and seeking to be inspired instead, because inspiration says, you know, which is the antithesis to envy, inspiration says there's enough for everyone. There's enough for everyone to go around. There's more than enough success, love, money, happiness to go around. And that's an abundant mindset. And then that's what you attract, more abundance. So when you see something that you're envious of, you're aware of it, you choose not to judge someone else, you choose not to judge yourself for having it, and you turn that into inspiration. I can't wait to have that for myself. I can't wait to do that for myself. What can I learn from that? So I think actually it's such a great tool, especially in the age of social media.
Well, that again correlates with the previous guest where we had Dr. Pippa Grange on, a psychologist that talks about see, face and replace fear. She describes the not good enough fear is the one that's endemic in our world. If we see that girl walk in the room and we think, I'm not good enough, so we label her as arrogant rather than see it, face it, for it says something about ourselves, and then replace it with, I can't wait to do it. So how often would you advocate, Roxy, that you have to practice this until it becomes something that's easier to access?
I mean, every day. Like, you live and breathe this stuff. I think it's, you know, people always say to me, how often should you practice manifesting? I'm like, it's not a ritual. It's a way of living. Like, it feeds into every single part of your life.
So describe your day then of waking up. So tell us about how you do live it, that our listeners could maybe pick up some ideas and adopt themselves.
Well, I think that, you know, when we think about healthy habits and daily routines, we often think about it from like a wellness perspective or for our physical well-being, but it really is such a great manifesting tool, because we manifest from our subconscious beliefs about what we're worthy of. And by that, I mean, you know, you can think about your dream house, but if you don't believe you're worthy of it, you're not going to attract it into your life. And if you imagine that there is an energetic force greater than ourselves. And for me, I call it the universe, okay? And I always say we're in constant dialogue with the universe, basically saying, this is what I think I'm worthy of. And the way we treat ourselves day to day is a direct reflection of that. And so that means the way you start your day, you know, are you snoozing your alarm and starting with the sense of urgency and rush and, you know, not actually giving yourself time to be mindful, to start your day slowly, to practice good habits. You know, how you choose to start your day really matters from both a well-being perspective and a manifesting perspective. So for me, I wake up, you know, between 5:30 every day, because I want that time before my son wakes up, you know. And you don't have, you know, daily rituals, I'm sure you guys know, you know, they don't have to take long, you know. It's, you know, for me, I repeat positive mantras for literally 30 seconds.
What sort of things do you say?
I am excited for the opportunities that will come my way. I'm proud of how far I've come. I love that one because it always reminds me. You know, I was last night, obviously coming on here today, going on YouTube, saying like Gareth Southgate and Steven Gerrard. And I was like, the fuck am I doing going on this podcast? And it was the first time in ages that I'd had imposter syndrome. But it also gave me a real opportunity to reflect and be like, yeah, I've come far.
See, but that's a brilliant example then. So talk us through how you saw some of the previous guests and you had that thought of, shit, what am I doing?
Yeah.
What did you then do in that moment that allowed you to have the courage to still show up today and be so passionate and enthusiastic in the responses you're giving us?
I think, firstly, it was just immediately like catching that thought and offering myself compassion, and then just choosing a new perspective, which is, wow, I've come so far, and all I'm going to do is come and have a chat Do you know what I mean? And I do know what I'm talking about, and I do trust myself. And at the end of the day, and I think this is one of the things that I've definitely learned that has empowered me, is that what other people think of me is none of my business, you know? And I really think that on anybody's journey to success, you simply cannot be constantly concerned with what other people think. You'll never get to where you want to go. And so, you know, I just come on and do my best. And
also, what value do those thoughts have that yeah. there's been other amazing people on this podcast? It doesn't yeah. give you anything, does it?
It makes me feel good anyway.
There you go.
You know, right? It makes me feel good to be aligned with those people. Yeah. That's a great thing.
It's the best way to look at it. So you've woken up, you've said great things. What about if you drop your mobile phone, or you lose your wallet, or you bump the car or something like that?
There's a great book called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and it's all small stuff. And I think, you know, I really use that line with anything. Those kind of things, not that nothing bothers me, all right? There are some things that bother me, but the small stuff just doesn't, because I think I spent too many years allowing those things to bother me. And I definitely grew up in an environment where, you know, if you spilt something, you'd be, you know, it was like the biggest deal in the world. And it was like that constant fear of doing anything wrong and things going wrong in this very pessimistic and negative environment. And I don't want to pass that on to Wolf, certainly. And those things, just, you have to just constantly ask yourself, like, is this really worth, like, my mood, my vibration, my energy? And it's not. Like, life is too precious.
See, that's a really interesting point about how your environment shapes you. So if you take this idea of manifestation, how has it shaped the environment that you're in? So the situation where you were surrounded by lots of party people, lots of people living that shallow life. What did it do to them when you started adopting some of these new ideas and ways of living?
I think my good friends are still my really good friends. But the others are just, you know what it's like. They're just like party friends. And so, of course, you don't. But then I think actually what's interesting is everybody seems to be, I don't know, I think more people now are on a self-development journey. So I definitely get more of them reaching out for advice or help, or, you know, and sometimes it's people that, you know, I really used to be like, oh, I just want to fit in with the cool kids, you know, and now they reach out to me and I'm like, oh, that's cool. Younger me would have been really excited about this.
Well, look, I really hope you're enjoying this conversation with Roxy. We're going to continue in just a second. And here is what's still to come on this episode of High Performance.
You know, along the way, you guys will know. I mean, everybody listening will know. You're going to be met with rejection, with no's, with deterrence, with obstacles, with challenges, with the choices. Do you let them derail you and shake your self-worth? Or do you just go, I'll find another way? I mean, your self-worth is built in those early years. So anything that we can do as adults, I think we all have a responsibility for children to encourage young people to really believe that they are worthy of joy and happiness and love.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together.
J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
And you said you don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah.
I saw some reports that you and your partner weren't together anymore.
Yes.
Is that that's accurate?
Yeah.
Are you happy to talk about that for a second? Because I know that, you know, you manifested, you wanted a relationship, you were desperate for a soulmate, someone to share life with, someone to have a child with, and that happened. And I'm sorry to hear that, you know, you've gone your separate ways in the recent past. How does your new mindset equip you to deal with what is not a small thing?
I'm actually really glad you asked that, because I have had a couple of messages from people going, I got one actually that emailed my team, and they said, I cannot believe I only bought your book because you had manifested a soulmate and that's what I wanted, and now you've broken up. It's an absolute joke. And I want a refund. And I was like,
wow.
Oh my goodness. I was like, okay. So I get it. But then I'm like, wait a second. So if someone manifests a new job, are they supposed to be in that job for the rest of their lives? Or if someone manifests a house, are they supposed to be in that house the rest of their lives? I did manifest my soulmate, and Wade is my soulmate. Like, I believe we have many soulmates in our lifetime, and I truly mean it when I say none of what I've done would be possible without him. He is the most incredible dad I could ever wish for. Oh my God, I'm going to get emotional.
It's okay.
And, you know, oh my God, sorry.
It's fine. It's your time.
He's my best friend, and we live 5 minutes apart, and we see each other every day. I absolutely manifested him into my life. And for me, and I'm very lucky that Wade is also very committed to self-development, to working on himself. We communicate very openly every step of the way. We knew that we could make it work, but we would both be trying really hard to fit within each other's ideals of what would be our best lives. And we decided mutually that actually we would both be the best version of ourselves separately, but as friends. And it was absolutely the best decision. And I still love him so much, and he loves me so much. But also, endings don't have to be sad things. Like, everyone, I think, really looks at breakups and endings as this awful thing. And I think it's devastating, especially when people have children and it becomes so toxic. But it doesn't have to be. Like, you can just be nice to each other. At the end of the day, you had something in the beginning. You know, and I know it's not always that easy for people, but I hope I can be an example that co-parenting can be done in a healthy way.
And look, thanks for talking about that, by the way. It's never easy, particularly when Wolf, your child, is involved in this. But I think that it's very easy in some ways for people to hear you say, oh, well, I stubbed my toe and I feel positive because I'm living a high vibrational life, you know, to go through a breakup with a child involved and still to choose a path of positivity. Mm. That is possibly the very best advert for living a life of manifestation that anyone listening to this podcast could hear. I want to change the conversation now to hard work, if we may, because we are huge believers on this podcast in the power of positive thinking. We know that it gets you so far down the road, but we also believe that unless you're dedicated and unless you can make sacrifice, unless you're all in, unless you really, really work hard, the very special, magical, great stuff just can't really be achieved. And there's a lovely line in your book called Aligning Your Behavior. Mm. So can we talk about convincing people that once they've chosen a path of positivity and a high vibe life, they have to align their behavior or nothing will change?
Yeah, I always say there's no substitute for hard work. Like, you cannot think yourself...
Even with all this positivity.
No, no, no. You cannot think your way to success. You just can't. You absolutely have to put in the hard work. And, you know, I had no career 3 years ago, and I certainly didn't get here sitting on my ass. Like, I have worked unbelievably hard, and I'm incredibly proud of that. And of course, I had to. And if anybody wants to get to where they want to go, if that place is, you know... If some, by the way, and I'll say for some people, they just want to manifest simplicity, and that is absolutely for them. But for people that want to, you know, I imagine for the people listening to this high performance podcast, for the people that want to manifest, you know, career success, financial success, absolutely hard work is an essential ingredient, but not just hard work, but commitment, persistence. You know, one of my, steps in the book is overcome tests from the universe, which is really all about how you deal with challenges. You know, I think it's an integral part of any kind of manifesting journey, but especially one that leads to a successful place. Because, you know, along the way, you guys will know, I mean, everybody listening will know, you're going to be met with rejection, with no's, with deterrence, with obstacles, with challenges, with the choices. Do you let them derail you and shake your self-worth? Or do you just go, I'll find another way? You know, an ex-boyfriend always used to say to me, there's a million ways to get to the same point. And I love that. And it was really stuck with me because I know my end goal and I will find a fucking way no matter what. Like, if someone says no, you find another way around. And I think so often if, let's say we're reaching out for a new job or whatever it is, and we get rejected, it hits our self-worth and it rocks us. And it's so easy then to allow that inner critic to take over and to stop us. But we really have to come back to our why, like come back to what's driving us to that goal, and choose not to engage with that inner critic, not to engage with that self-doubt that's been triggered by the rejection.
Because it is always there, isn't it? Your inner critic is there as it was 5 years ago when you were in a dark place.
Not as loud and not as... Occasionally, of course, it pops in.
I suppose the point I'm trying to make is if you stop the work...
You know, I don't think it's an inner critic that drives me to work. I think it's more it's a commitment and a drive and a passion that...
But if you stopped working on the manifesting and the positivity, that would allow the inner critic to grow again. I just want people to realise you can't get to a point... And think, right, I've got it cracked. I'll go back to my old ways.
No, 100%. I think the purpose of life, right, is to grow and expand constantly. I mean, why? Like, what are we doing here? It's like we're always growing and moving forwards. And that the pace of that is different for everyone. But if your goal is somewhere and you reach it, you make a new goal, you move further, you set new benchmarks, not forgetting to celebrate the achievements you make along the way. But yeah, you can't get complacent, that's for sure.
So when you said about this idea of your why continues to drive you, so when you get a setback, you don't allow it to impinge on your self-worth, but you instead keep this focus on what you're here to do. Mm. Can you give us some examples of the kind of questions that our listeners could ask themselves to discover their own why?
So let's say that you want to earn, let's say, a certain amount of money next year, okay? And you really need to then ask yourself, if you've got this figure in your mind and you're like, I want to earn this job, which gives me X amount of money, why? Like, what is the reason for the money? And be clear on that, the emotional pull on that. Is it because you want to be able to take your family on holidays without the kind of financial stress? Is it because you want to be able to pay your mortgage, or you want a bigger house, or you want a garden, or, you know, the emotional pull on the kind of, let's say, the financial goal is key in driving you through those challenges. Because when you face a challenge, if you're able to, you know, maybe just seeing a number, you start to think, look, we've all had those times where you're like, what's it all for? What, you know, you're feeling more, you know, you've achieved something or you're working towards something and you're like, oh, and you're having a bad day. And you ask, you're like, what's it all for? And you really need an emotional reason why, something that's going to make you feel satisfied and fulfilled. Because we also all know that things like financial gain, success, none of it means anything if we don't have meaningful things in our lives to support that.
And you know what, Roxy, it would be disingenuous to sit here and have this conversation without mentioning something that a previous guest spoke about. And what I love, by the way, about this conversation, I'm seeing so many things that align with other guests. I was thinking, you know, Lewis Morgan, he was one of the co-creators of Gymshark. He said to us, he came on the podcast and said that all he did was look at bigger businesses and think, that's what you're doing. I'll ape it. I'll copy that. And I think that comes right back to what you said about not being derailed or knocked back by other's success, but to be lifted up by it.
Anyway,
that's a separate point. It would be disingenuous of us to not mention that when we were joined by Susie Marr, who was an entrepreneur, she came on and spoke about the power of what she called your infinite purpose. So it's your purpose in life that never has an end. And we're talking quite a lot today about a goal or, you know, a salary or a car or a partner or a thing. So do we have to be careful when it comes to manifesting that we don't focus on the outcome? Because we are so clear on this podcast that we believe that focusing on your process is actually where the real beauty in life lies.
Yeah. There's two kind of things that I want to say on this. I think the first is that the greatest gift that manifesting offers us is the ability to kind of become the best version of ourselves that exists, the most empowered version of ourselves. And by following these kind of steps that I lay out, and understanding that it's a self-development practice, in the end, the beauty of it really isn't that you achieve the goals. It's that you are able to live your life with greater ease, with greater resilience, with greater strength, with more appreciation. And who doesn't want that? You will live a better life for that. And in that sense, the goal is irrelevant. It's like you enjoy the journey of getting there because you've changed your mindset, because you've changed the person that you really are. And the other thing I'll say is that the final step of my book is trust in the universe. And that really is all about surrender. And I think that there is this idea that, like, for example, okay, I do this thing called, I encourage people to make vision boards, okay? And
you go big on vision boards in the book.
Yeah, and I love vision boards. Yeah. Vision boards are important, you know, they're a great tool. And anything you put on them, I swear to God, follow the steps, they will come true.
So just describe what a vision board is for someone that's never heard that term.
A vision board is essentially a visual representation of what you want your life to look like in X amount of time. So let's say 1 year from now, you write down, or you can use pictures to put down everything you want to manifest in that time. And I always encourage people to then put them away. But then loads of people are saying, no, I have them as my phone screensaver. I look at them every day. But when you're constantly so focused on where you want to go, and this comes back to your question, when you're so focused on your goal, it absolutely takes you away from the present moment. And in doing so, how can you really be fully grateful for all that you already had? You know, one of my steps is also embrace gratitude without caveats. And I call it the manifesting sweet spot, knowing where you want to go whilst being entirely grateful for all that you already have. And so this step seven really is about surrender. It's about knowing that you don't know how, you just know it will work out the way it's supposed to. So you have a goal, then you let it go. And then you come back to, what can I do today? How can I be the best version of myself today? How can I do something today that tomorrow will thank me for? You know, the me tomorrow will thank me for. And so this kind of unwavering doubt that it's all going to work out the way it's supposed to is this like magnetic energy. And I love Oasis, the band. And if you watch Liam Gallagher in his early interviews, he has got this kind of full unwavering faith and sign of surrender and trust in the universe. You know, he's like, we're going to be the best band in the world. And they were, you know, and it really is this kind of step embodied. And if you've got any friends who, you know, that are just lucky people.
Yeah.
Like life always just works out for them, you know, and they're not really probably writing their goals every week. They're just like, it's all going to be good. I know it's going to work out. And they have this quality of kind of surrender, faith, trust, self-belief already. And so I think it's always really helpful to look at these people who are already manifesting maybe without using the term, but really they do practice these steps naturally.
It's interesting, actually, you say that about that feeling of it's all going to be great. I remember, and I had not had this thought for a long, long time, maybe 20 years. I've just suddenly had this image and I'm back in the IT classroom at my school because I only got 1A for A level and it was in computing. Right, what a geek. But I remember sitting, writing in the back of this book, and I, like, school was not great for me. I wasn't very good at school. I changed schools because I was badly bullied. You know this story. Like, life was not, was far from ideal. I was the most normal kid in the whole school. There was nothing exciting about me at this point in my life. But I remember the back of a book drawing a big smiley face and drawing loads of stars around my head and then signing it at the bottom. And I knew that was because when I'm older, someone's going to find this book and go, oh, you knew that you were going to have this really cool life because you've done your autograph and you've covered yourself in stars with a huge smiley face. And I wasn't an especially happy person at that point.
Yeah.
But I do remember that feeling of something special was going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's almost like when you feel like something, and I really want people to understand this, when you feel something special is going to happen, my God, it really makes something special happen.
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it?
I love that.
That reminds me, when you mentioned Oasis and your story there, Jake, I think it's a Noel Gallagher quote that said, I acted like a superstar long before I ever was one.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
That you're putting it in the language of manifestation, exactly. You just can see exactly what you're describing.
What a nice conversation. Look, before we move on to our quickfire questions, which is the way we wrap up these conversations, for people that are listening to this and they're itching for more, of course, they can go and buy your book. I would highly recommend that's the good next step. What would you really want people to do the moment they stop listening to this podcast to start this journey?
I think the first thing to do would be really to think about what do you actually want your life to look like a year from now? And more important than that, how do you want it to feel? Compared to how it feels currently, like, do you want to feel more confident in yourself? Do you want it to feel more fulfilling? Do you want there to be more adventure? Do you want it to feel more exciting? Do you know where you want to live, the kind of relationships you want in your life? I think that is the first step, is just to really gain clarity on, like, what do you actually want? Like, what do you want from your life? And then you start the journey on doing the work and making it happen.
And to know that you deserve it. Everyone listening to this conversation deserves it.
Oh, God, yeah. 100%. And I think really that for all of us, I think, you know, we are taught from a young age that, you know, it's that life is hard and that, you know, we kind of get used, we think that it should be a struggle and that that's just the way life is, but it really doesn't have to be. Like, it can, you can actually change your life overnight and anything can happen. But to create change, you have to be the change.
And we get a lot of parents and teachers listening to this, Roxy. Mm. How old do you think you need to be to start this process?
Oh, the younger, the better. You know, I think teaching kids, like gratitude, like getting them into the practice of practicing gratitude regularly. Actually, Wade is always doing this and always tells me, but he's always saying, instead of saying, Wolf, I'm so proud of you, start saying, you should be so proud of yourself. He'd heard it or read it somewhere. I think that's really nice. It's more about self-validation rather than constantly needing the approval of others. And I really like that. Mantras, journaling, I think actually it's the most formative. I mean, your self-worth is built in those early years. So anything that we can do as adults, I think we all have a responsibility for children to encourage young people to really believe that they are worthy of joy and happiness and love. We should do that.
Brilliant. Your two kids are great. I think they'd love a mood board that they put away for a year and then come back to, you know?
Yeah, no, there's so many ideas. I love the gratitude idea as well with my kids, of sort of getting them to just pause at dinner time and reflect on that.
Like three things that they're grateful for that day, every day.
Yeah. Brilliant. Quick fire questions.
Okay.
The three non-negotiable behaviours that you and the people around you have to buy into.
Commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Adaptability. And, well, I don't think it's a behaviour.
We'll take it, whatever.
But a positive mindset.
Yeah, that's nice, yeah.
If you could go back to one moment in your life, what would it be and why?
Oh, God, I wouldn't. Right now is the best my life has ever been.
How important is legacy to you?
I would definitely like to be remembered after I'm gone as somebody who helped others to fulfill their potential.
Would you suggest a book, a TV series, or a podcast that our listeners should absorb?
I'm currently reading a book called Regrets of the Dying by Georgina Skull, and it's really bringing me back to gratitude and appreciation for the small moments in life. And it's just really moving me. So I choose that one.
Very good. And this final question really is your one golden rule to living a high performance life. I suppose the final message you would like to leave people with who've sat and listened to this enlightening conversation.
Believe you can and you will.
Wonderful. Damien.
Jake.
I think it's easy to look at a podcast episode about manifestation and think, oh, that's a bit kooky, that's a bit out there, that's a bit woo-woo. When you actually listen to what she's saying, there are parallels with Lewis Morgan, the entrepreneur, who said he looked at big business and took an inspiration from it. There are parallels with Nims Purger, who decided to look at the positive side rather than the negative side when bad things happened to him. All through the chat with Roxy, she's looking at it and calling it manifestation. But let's reframe it if people are cynical and say it's positive mental attitude. And a positive mental attitude will take you somewhere amazing.
Yeah. I remember years ago working with a rugby team and we were speaking about this positive mental attitude. And they said, are you telling us if we 100% believe that we will win, we will? And my response was, well, no, that because you've still got to go out and execute the game plan and things like that. But if we flip it on its head and say, if you 100% believe that you won't win, I can pretty much guarantee that that result is inevitable. So it's sometimes like when Mel Robbins, when we first interviewed her and she said, well, how's cynicism working for you? I'd adopt the same question to this, that if you want to be cynical about manifestation, well, don't do it. And you're still in the same place as where you started.
And that was actually a really educational conversation for me, because I'll be honest, before we met Roxy, I thought manifestation was, oh, I want to have a Ferrari, I'm going to dream about a Ferrari loads and hopefully it'll happen. Obviously, now what I've realised is that what she's really talking about is a state of mind. And yes, of course, you can write down what you want to have, where you want to be, what you want to achieve. But then it's about the world-class basics, the daily practices, the affirmations, the mindset, just the belief that those things are going to come your way. That I didn't see manifestation as a lifestyle. I saw it as a thing you do for 5 minutes a day, every day, and then it leaves an end goal. For me, it's a complete mindset change that you just have this idea of manifestation kind of running through you.
Yeah, and I love that because I had a similar view to yourself, Jake, that my impression was it was quite a shallow exercise to complete. Yeah. But I think
It felt in some ways to me like a bit vacuous before, like a bit... materialistic?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And now I look at it totally differently.
Yeah, it's about going and asking, well, what sort of person do I want to be? Well, that's asking about your values. Yeah. What do I want to have and to be and to experience? And what do I deserve? Yeah, exactly. I just think there's so many questions there that, like you say, a lot of our previous guests have demonstrated the practical application of it without necessarily using the same language that Roxy shared with us.
Really interesting episode.
Yeah, it was. Very challenging.
Thank you very much. And thanks to you as well, our high performance listener, for opening your minds to these kinds of conversations, which you perhaps wouldn't normally listen to. I hope you get a real value from them. So it's our favourite part of the podcast, where we get to speak to someone who's listened to and enjoyed and been impacted by high performance. Laura, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Really well. So can I just confirm, are you in Dubai right now?
I am, and it's about 45 degrees.
No wonder you're inside. So let's just confirm then, the High Performance Podcast has made it to the Middle East.
It has, definitely, yes.
Where are you from originally, Laura? You're from the UK?
Yeah, I'm from Durham. So I started out teaching about 7 or 8 years ago in Peterlee, the academy at Charton Hall. And yeah, left, I think, 5 years ago and came to Dubai. And I'm now at a British secondary school. So I teach languages at Dubai College, but I've got a teaching and learning role as well, which is all about the science of learning and how students kind of learn and revise effectively. So a lot of what you've done, I think, on the podcast for mindset and things fits really nicely into that. So I'm trying to build that in at the moment. We launched this year a Revise and Retrieve Month, because we've had obviously 2 years now of students who haven't sat external exams. And although we've got really capable students, I think some of them don't necessarily have the skills and the habits of behaviors they need to be really effective learners. So we launched the month, and through that we made, we did student talks in assemblies and we did parent talks all about how they should be learning and spreading out their revision and the different techniques they should be using to make sure they remember all of it in the long term. So I think sometimes students just cram for exams and they might do well in an exam the next day, but 2 months down the line, they've forgotten half of the material that they've covered. So we've basically built an online student platform. And on there, we've got about 20 videos at the moment. And they're all about 3 or 4 minutes long, but they're made by students all the way from year 8 up to year 13. So like 12 up to age 18. And they're all just students sharing with one another different techniques and habits that they can embed to make them more effective learners. But next year, I'm really looking to embed into that some more mindset stuff around all of the messages that you two have been sharing.
I mean, it sounds amazing, Laura. I mean, can I just, before we get into the detail of the platforms and the difference you're making, like, what really is evident to me is the passion that you have for this. And I'm interested in, where does that come from?
Yeah, I think the Academy of Chawton Hall, where I worked in the UK, I had just two fantastic mentors, Sarah Sharp and Leslie Weirmouth. They were just, I think they inspired me to just always make the lessons as active as possible and to really engage the students and make it challenging. Because I think sometimes students, they want to be spoon-fed a lot of the time. But when you make it challenging, they learn a lot more from it. And it makes them those lifelong learners that we really want. So I've always been involved in bits to do with teaching and learning. And luckily, Dubai College, where I work now, they've given me a role where I can really run with this with staff so that they're embedding the right strategies and they're trying to teach things in the most impactful way. But with the students, that's something that I've taken on this year, but they've really engaged with it so far. And I think they need it now more than ever. Like I said, with the removal of exams, it's something that's really important for them to have.
And you know what? I love this conversation because what we've spoken about all the time is how proud we are that teachers listen to the podcast. Because look, not to say we don't want to impact you, like Laura, that's amazing that you're listening and it's wonderful. But for you to then impact the next generation is kind of passing the podcast along, which matters to us a lot. But let's just talk about you for a moment. It's amazing how keen you are to pass this on to your students. But what about you personally? What has the podcast done for you, if anything?
Yeah, I think, well, I'm from the Northeast, so I've got a real grafter mentality, I would say. I definitely get that from my dad. He was, when I was growing up, he was out 6 a.m. in the morning, he was back late at night. And I think I've always been really hardworking, but I think I always then get a little bit burnt out every year just because teaching, you've always got a massive to-do list and there's so many roles you're taking on and there's so much to do. So I think over the last year in particular, my boyfriend told me he thought I'd like the podcast. And I think we listened to Mark Cavendish, first of all, because I've loved following Team GB and all of the stuff they do with marginal gains and things. That was kind of how I learned to teach, taking small goals each week to try and improve on. So then I've just listened to all of it. So I think it took me a few months, but in and out of work every morning, I've listened to it all. And I guess it's just this year, although I've been busy all year, I feel like my mindset's been much stronger than it has before. And I've just prioritized myself a little bit more. I think sometimes it's easy to think, oh, I need to get through everything and I'll just leave exercise or sleep or whatever to when I can do it, when I've got time. But this year, I've really tried to prioritize sleeping and exercise and diet. I took up yoga. I stopped drinking about 8 months ago, which from the Northeast, I never thought I'd say. But I just feel like all of these little changes that I've made have just made me feel that much more than when I am in the classroom. I feel like I'm performing at my best rather than just being slightly exhausted. And I think you said on the podcast a few times, you can't pour from an empty cup. And I always try and keep that in the back of my mind, I think.
So has there been one particular guest or one tip from a guest that has resonated more than any other for you, Laura?
Yeah, I think I loved Susie Marr. Hers are all about infinite purpose. I know Jake loves that as well. But I think just particularly for the students, the platform that we're doing at the start of the year, I really want them to be thinking about, maybe they don't have an infinite purpose just yet, but thinking about the way that they set goals, because often they just say, oh, I'm going to be more motivated this year. I'm going to work harder this year. And I'm like, but what does that look like day by day? Because it's very easy to get the end of the year and realize you've not been more motivated. So we're going to look at things, I guess, like the infinite purpose and how do you set goals that are effective? So rather than be more motivated this year, what does that look like in your study time, and what strategies are you going to use so that it actually then you can monitor it week by week? Because I think otherwise they're going to leave it to the last minute, and they're not going to get what they want to achieve out of it. So we're going to look at doing Xander letters, I think it was as well. I read about that in the book. I took the book to Thailand with me, and my boyfriend was laughing because I had little post-it notes I found in the hotel, and I was sat on boats around Thailand writing little notes of what I was going to do with the kids. But yeah, I think getting them to write a Xander letter at the start of the year of what are you going to achieve by the end of this year, and that might be grades wise or it might be mentality wise or it might be sporting, whatever it is, but what does that look like and how are you going to get there? And I think that's something really tangible for them then to use in the future.
It's fantastic. Laura, thank you so much for not just listening to the podcast, but passing it on as well. What's your boyfriend's name?
Cam.
Big credit to Cam as well. If he hadn't given it to you, you'd have never handed it on. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Well, that's it for another episode. Listen, I'd really love to know, as always, what you think. The biggest thanks, though, goes to you for growing, for sharing this podcast among your community. Please continue to spread the learnings that you're taking from this series. Thanks very much to the whole team of Finn, Hannah, Will, Eve, and Gemma. And please remember, there is no secret. It's all there for you. So chase world-class basics. Don't get high on your own supply. Remain humble, curious, empathetic, and keep on coming back for more, because every single week we're bringing you something totally different in our quest for high performance. Don't forget to find us at thehighperformancepodcast.com. That's our online home. We'd love to see you there. But right now, have a fantastic few days, and I'll see you soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.